So Paul, he had the conviction to continue on what God has called him to do. And each one of us today have our families and friends and loved ones that we associate with. And God has called us to that life. Each one of us. We should be very thankful for family. Remember, family is important. Don't lose your family, even though you may not get along with Uncle So-and-so or Aunt So-and-so. You know, remember, family is important. And so we look here at last week. Paul is, concluded there as he was leaving just south of Ephesus. He gathered together with the pastors. We looked at last week as the faithfulness of ministers. We're all called to be ministers. We all are called to minister to our loved ones, our children, our grandchildren, our brothers, our sisters, even our neighbors. Remember that we're supposed to love our neighbors. Sometimes neighbors are not too friendly, you know. But we are to be right with God. We are to be shepherding our flock. We are to be guarding our flock. We are to be studying and praying. Because the snake is very quiet. Snakes are in the grass. You don't see them. And they'll jump out at you. And they can jump pretty far. And they can bite you. So we have to have the armor of God on. And we need to be studying and praying. We need to be free from self-interest. There's a lot of self-interest today in this world. It's all about putting myself first, the comforts of society. We talked about that in Sunday school, wrapping up Romans chapter 11, and how, you know, what's the destiny of Israel? What's Israel going to be like? And we talked about there, well, you know, we pray for the peace of Israel. You know, it's found in Psalms 122. And we check on the news. But they're God's people. And one day, God has called the Gentiles, which are us, non-Jews, into what? His grace will shift over into the Israelites during the tribulation period to Israel. So Paul, being a Jew, now born again, second time, remember the first time, born out of his mother's womb, second time, is of the Spirit of God. He is here in Acts chapter 21, as we're picking this up here. He had a problem. And sometimes people tell us, no, don't do that. There's trouble. There's danger. Paul, remember, had already been through quite a couple riots. He's already had one time his life being plotted against. Ever had somebody who was going to plotted to kill you, who didn't like you? And for some reason, God and his sovereign will got you away from that. How many of you have been so close to a car accident or close to death because of cancer or just the stress is enough to kill you? Many of us here have been through that. So looking here in Acts, we see here in verses 20, verses 22 through 24, and now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem. We looked at that last week. Out as being bound was meant that your master had redeemed you. You are under the bondage of sin. And so your master, you are committed to him because he has freed you. Jesus Christ is our master. He has freed us. And so we have a sense of duty to follow him because he has forgiven us of our sins. He died on the cross. He shed his blood. We hear that over and over again, but we are reminded very much every day when we leave these doors and we go out into the mission field and we go throughout our Samaria and Judea and remember Acts 1:8, we are reminded that we are sinners, but we have a job to do in the Lord to encourage one another here this morning. So it says, and now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit into Jerusalem, not knowing the things that I shall befall me. There say that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide in me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He knew that there was trouble down the road. How many of us has gone through a day where we know there's trouble down the road? You know, when trouble happens, usually it happens when you least expect it, but you have to be prepared for it. We have some examples in the Bible here. Remember Daniel, who was a slave back in the Old Testament? You know, we look at going through Jeremiah, and you had a king called Jehoiakim who did evil in the sight of the Lord. The Lord told him not to do it, but he did it anyway because of his foolishness and his pride and his stubbornness. And God said, okay, fine. He raised up a king named Nebuchadnezzar. He came down. They took away the people of Jerusalem, left a remnant there just so that he could keep the land together, like a few farmers and a few things here and there. And he took the best of everybody, and they went up to Babylon. And, you have Daniel. He was there, and God used him mightily. And then you see also that was a man of trials. And there was David, who was a shepherd. And remember, he had slain a lion and a bear. And, you know, for hunters here today, that's quite a task to shoot a bear. But, you know, all David had was a slingshot. That's all he had. But he could kill the animals, but also he had other predators. Remember, Saul was a predator. He went after David, told him, you know, what he needed to do, needed to wear his armor. And there was danger in that because David trusted the Lord. He didn't have to wear, you know, we all like to be ourselves, right? We don't want to be a wannabe. David was not a wannabe. He wanted to be himself, be the man God called him to be. So you had Saul, and then you had, of course, you had Goliath. Man, twice as big as he was. Remember, David was only around 14 years of age. See, Pastor, why are you telling me this? Because we have giants in land. And Satan can raise giants up of doubt, desire, wickedness. You know, there's a bunch of them out there. Discouragement, frustration. And all God's calling us to do is to rest in him. David rested in the Lord until David got his eyes off the Lord. You know what happened next. But God forgave that too. He was a man after God's own heart. We should be people after God's own heart. And then we see Joshua, another man. He was a slave in Egypt. God rose him up to minister to Moses. And God rose him up there, and he was getting old by the time Moses, remember, Moses passed away. He's about 120 years of age. Joshua was 80. Joshua was getting old. For the saints of God, remember, God still uses you, and he hasn't given up on us. As long as we got a heart to beat and a fist to pound, we can still go by the grace of God. So you had Joshua. He was able to conquer 48 cities. 48 cities. Remember, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the captain of the hosts. And he is the captain of the hosts today. And he's my captain and our captain today. And he will fight our battles for us. And he has the armies to do it. His angelic forces. And we have the Holy Spirit that can conquer. And the God of this world cannot, and I'll repeat it, cannot overcome the Spirit of God that dwells within us, unless we allow him to. So Paul, getting back here to Paul, you know, we see some examples here of courageous, convicted people of God had courage. And then chapter 21. Okay. And it came to pass that after we were gotten from them and had launched, we come with straight course. And that idea had gotten from them. Paul was ready to leave, and the idea of gotten from them has the idea of tearing away. In other words, if you ever left a loved one, you had to go. And they're like, please, don't leave me. I want you to stay. I love you. I really care about you. Don't go. And you're like, and you have to pull away from them. That's how they were. You know, people we've met in the hospitals, loved ones, people that, you know, we miss that are dear to us. You know, my heart goes out to those who miss their loved ones. We all do. We all miss our loved ones. But there was a time and place for that. But Paul was alive, and it was time for him to go. He had done his work. His time was finished, and it was time to move on. And God has called us today to move on. So number one, we have to know its purpose. So Paul was saying here in this third missionary journey, in other words, after traveling almost 1,400 miles, we see 1st and 2nd Corinthians and Romans, three of these letters was written in this third missionary journey. The man had also stopped by around at least 20 different churches. And you'll see here in the next few verses, there have been churches established in these cities because the gospel had gotten out. It has spread out. There's a man who just moved into my apartment complex. He's a pastor of a new church just right down the road. And I'm like, my goodness, praise God. That's great. We got more pastors, more churches popping up all over the place around here. And that's encouraging. Because God's work is getting done. And, you know, he doesn't look at numbers, but he looks at hearts, and he looks at faithfulness. And that's what I'm getting at here. Being courageous Christians costs something, but that's hearsay. So what? You know, everything costs something. You go to the store, it costs you something. But you go and you're faithful to what God's called you to do, and you do it unto the Lord. You do the best you can. I'm looking at some of you here today. I'm like, oh my goodness, what y'all been through, and you're still, you know, 20 years younger. Some of you look 10, 20 years younger. You look good. You know, so moving along here. So they didn't want Paul to go, and was straight course unto Coros, and the day following unto Rhodes, and thence unto Patra. And there were only days in between. He would get on a ship. It was faster that way. And it was on the inside of where you have Greece here. It was on the inside area here of Asia, the Mediterranean Sea. And Jerusalem was down here. And Cyprus was here. So he's going along the coastal line. And it was a day in between. So why is that important? Because he was faithful. He knew about these churches. The churches had grown at this time. And this has been about 10 years. 10 years, you know, for all of us here today, where were we 10 years ago? And you know, so much has happened, hasn't it? Life is going on. But where are we with the Lord today, right? Thank God we're right with him. No matter what the cost, what has happened, we still have the courage. There's a lot of courage here this morning. I can sense it. I feel. I don't feel fear. Fear is just something made up that shouldn't even be there. You know, it's called faith. It replaces it by faith. And you know what? I got a God that's more powerful that created all this, including my body. And, you know, he's a wonderful God and he loves me. And you know what? I'm going to go with that. So Paul went on here. And in verse 2, it says, in finding the ship sailing over to Phoenicia, went aboard and set forth. And so at that time, verse 3, it says, and now when he had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria and landed in Tyre. And there the ship was unlaid her burden. In other words, Paul had passed through one of the cities for an example. One of the seven wonders of the world, which was Apollos, 106 feet tall. Ships used to pass in between. And then as time went on, that giant idol, that statue fell down. They said it took numerous camels to export all that copper that it had. And, you know, my point is that the world builds great things, the seven wonders of the world. And you know what? Those things dissipate after a while. You know, every one of us here today, and I know you all as much as you let me know y'all, is that you want to leave a legacy with Jesus Christ. When you go home to be with the Lord, say, you know, Mom and Dad, there was something different about them. I never lived too right about the gospel, what they were always talking about. You know, always talking about this Jesus. But you know what? They had something I need. And there's something a bit different about them, and I need what they have. You never know what is passed on through your children, to your grandchildren, to your uncles and your aunts. You never know who's listening on the other end. You don't know what God's doing behind the scene, as one person said here earlier in the service. God's working behind the scenes, and he's doing mighty and wonderful things. And we should praise him and thank him for that. And so here he was. He'd gotten himself a larger ship. And now here comes the opposition. You know, God answers prayer for all of us. He does through day to day. We get on from one point in life to another point in life. And sometimes we just have to be courageous. Sometimes we just got to put our fist down and we need to get determined and just, you know what, I'm just going to do it. Regardless of what the outcome is, I'm going to stick to this. And then we see here, verse 4, and in finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days. He said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go to Jerusalem. You ever had God laid it on your heart to do something and somebody say, wait a minute, don't do that. You hurt yourself. Don't you know there's going to be a problem with that? Don't do it. But you know God's told you to do it. How many of you all been through? Kimberly has told me that. Don't go out there. You might get hurt. My mother's told me that. I remember working with longshoremen in Alaska. She could be careful. There's some tough guys out there. Well, you know what? By the grace of God, I had people telling me I worked harder than those longshoremen out there. Yet a lot of them quit. They couldn't handle throwing 50-pound bags 5 years ago out in Alaska on pallets and in the middle of the night. And then next morning, and I'll give glory to God, I went out there and I preached church. And they said, how'd you do it? I said, by the grace of God. Of course, I felt like a drunken sailor. I was so tired. I was just like, you know, I'm going home. I'm going to bed, you know. But God, what I'm saying here, it's not about me. It's about the Lord. And you know what happens is that God gives you the strength. God will fire you up. He'll get you running, you know, and God to the glory. So Paul was told, no, you can't do it, Paul. Don't go to Jerusalem. Don't do it because, you know, believe it or not, within 12 days of his arrival in Jerusalem, this is what happened here. According to Acts 24:11, Paul was found himself dragged out of the temple, beaten by a mob, almost scourged by Roman soldiers, barely escaped an assassination plot of his life and imprisoned in Caesarea. You know, sometimes I wonder why God doesn't allow us to know what's going to happen in the future. I know very well why, because we wouldn't like it. I don't think none of us would. No. Oh, you got to be kidding me. No way. I would not want to know what my future holds. But I thank God, amen, we know who the future holds. And that's Jesus Christ. So Paul's told, don't go. Don't go. You get yourself in trouble. So number one, see, knows it's a purpose too. Can't be diverted. And we see here, I love what they do. And when they had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way with wives and children. Verse 5, we were out of the city and we kneeled down on the shore and we prayed. What kind of love is that? Those people didn't want Paul to go. They knew there was danger. But, everybody got together. You know, and this family, like churches, like family, a spiritual family. Family, how many people we know at home that we know that people pray for us? You know, Thanksgiving's just around the corner. And we have Christmas just around the corner. And, you know, how many times are people wanting to pray? How many times in a restaurant can we actually say, you know, I'm going to stop and pray. Let's pray. And, you know, I've never gotten any resistance from that in a restaurant. Let's just bow our heads and give thanks. We'll pray in a restaurant. Never. Most people in the world aren't going to care. They don't. Unless you get some angry woke person coming along, somebody get along and have an attitude. You can't pray here. Well, excuse me, I have my rights. If you don't like it, go somewhere else. I'm going to pray here. Excuse me. You know, not bothering anybody. So Paul went ahead and he prayed with them. Verse 6 says, and when he had taken our leave one another, we took a ship and they returned home again. Okay? So Paul now is ready to go on to his next area. And each one of us today, this week, we have plans where we're going to go where God has called us, but we need to be courageous and we need to have conviction. Conviction from what? From the Lord. Lord, this is what you've called me to do. I'm going to stick it out. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Then we see verses 7 through 14. And we had finished our course in Tyre, and we came to Papalimnis and saluted the brethren. And that means just means not like salute. That just means you greet them, okay, and respect, and abode with them one day. It's interesting to see here that verse 8, and the next day we... that pronouns come back in that verse again. That means at this time Luke's with them again too, the author of Acts. And say, why is that important? Because when the Holy Spirit is working in Luke's life, remember, there were people there that were praying. They were praying churches. They were early churches. Remember, they did not meet at the first church of Patmos or other churches of Cyprus. They had their own house churches. So they were praying. They got to know one another. The word of God was spreading like wildfire. And I believe that is spreading around this community. I really believe that in other communities. I believe the word of God is getting out. But you know, we are praying here, and we do that, as a matter of fact. And so the next day, Luke, that we were in Paul's company, departed and came unto Caesarea, another area. So now they went from a smaller ship, going day by day to different places, to a larger ship. So why? So that he could get down there to Jerusalem. Remember, he wants to get there in time for Pentecost, for the Passover, excuse me. Because that was the thing. A lot of Christians still went there, even though the time was over with the temple. And the sacrifices were null and void because of what Jesus did on the cross. But still, you had Jewish Christians that still went there because that was a special celebration. And we all still do that today. The other day, I heard fireworks going off. You know, so people still celebrate. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with celebrations. Just want to make sure it's God-centered. And or at least have some conscience. Today, I don't think there's much of a conscience out there anymore. You know? And so we see here that Paul's company departed and came to Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist. Now, Philip, as you remember, he was one of the seven deacons. God called him to be an evangelist. You remember throughout Acts there, we saw that, you know, he had... witnessed there to that eunuch and Acts chapter 8. And then, you know, God took him and the spirit disappeared. Okay? He's gone. And when now, here we are in Acts chapter 21 and you have Paul led by the spirit. And guess who it is? We had any surprises this week? I'm sure we have. You ever had people pop in that you didn't realize that were going to come? Or just things that happen. It's not a mistake with God. Just remember while we're praying this week that when things do happen, either the Lord has allowed it to happen where there's a reason for us to grow in the Lord, or that, you know, remember God loves us too. Remember all those things in the Bible. But I like to think of when things happen, there's a good reason. And God doesn't make mistakes. And it was not like he forgot. So here he was in Caesarea, and he came to the Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven that abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, it did prophesize. That's interesting because, you know, every time we get into one of these areas in Acts, somebody says, uh-oh, now we're looking at women preachers. How many things in this diverse book of the Bible, it's a transitioning book. Well, it's very simple. One, God does not make any mistakes. And we see here that the prophecy meant that they could speak God's word. Okay? We had prophets, they prophesied God's word. Now listen to me very closely. Okay? Someone says to me, well, you know, what about women preachers? Got you there, preacher. No. Okay? I don't think so. If you go in your Bibles and 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 34, it says that there is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. Now, a lot of people think about women preachers. They don't study God's word. They take one passage and they lift it out of the context and they throw everything else out the door. It says, there's a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and the spirit, but she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. So, in other words, it's saying here that an unmarried virgin would spend more time with the Lord. Okay? And you say, okay, well, show me something else. Okay, I'm not totally satisfied. Okay, 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12. Paul says this as well, because who wrote 1 Corinthians? Paul. Who wrote 1 Timothy? Paul. It says in 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12, says, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. In other words, being submitted to. Now, I'm not talking about Sunday school. You have women sit down, they talk and they pray, and you know, we share ideas. They don't have to be quiet because, you know, as a Sunday school teacher, I want to hear it too. Women are a blessing. Don't ever forget that. And it says here in verse 12, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over a man, but to be in silence. In other words, women are not supposed to be preachers. And if you have a man there and you have a woman up there for a Sunday school teacher, the man should be up there. You know why we have a lot of women in church today? Men, I hate to say this, but as a man, I'll tell it like it is. Men are not being men today. They aren't. Thank God we have men that are men here today and men online, okay? And some men would love to be here, but they can't physically be here. But, you know, unfortunately, that's why numerically, in a lot of churches, not all of them, but a lot of churches, you have a lot of women showing up. The men aren't there anymore. So, let's get on this here. So, we see that God's word does not contradict itself. In other words, these four virgins, prophets, they were mouthpieces of the word of God. That's all they were. Now, listen. God could have sent, if we see the next few verses, God had sent a man named Agabus, who in verse 10 says, and as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. Now, God could have used the four women if he wanted to. No. He used a prophet, a man, to what? Say what he had to. Now, I understand. God used women throughout the Bible. I'm not going to even go there because he did. God bless. Praise his name. But when it came to this situation with Paul, God used Agabus. And it says here, and when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound about his own hands and feet, and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Now, this was used in Isaiah and Ezekiel. They did the same thing. It was a prophetic sign that there was danger ahead. And yet, you know, again, if God tells you to do something, if I see something wrong, and I'm going to tell you because I love you, right? We're going to tell our loved ones, right? Don't walk through the fire. You heard that expression? You tell the kids, you're walking through the fire and you don't even see it. And that expression, they have their eyes wide open and you know exactly what they're doing. You're like, oh, please. I've been in this world for years. You know, don't you listen to me. You're like a prophet in the wilderness, crying out to your kids and your grandkids. And it's right there. I'm trying to save you some problems, honey. They don't want to hear it. They figure, well, they're old enough. You're too old to understand. You know, they're foolish pride. So Agabus comes along. He prophesies, verse 11, and when he was come unto us, I read verse 11. Verse 12 says, and when we heard these things, both we, again, that pronoun, Luke and the rest of them, there's some of them that traveled from Ephesus down with Paul, the courageous bunch, the magnificent seven, or whoever they want to call they are, they went anyway, and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Again, they came to him again. How many times has that happened to us? Well, God has called us to do something, and again. But you know, I like to pray this, Lord, I do the fleece ordeal. I'm like, Lord, like, you know, Gideon's fleece. I said, Lord, if this is what your will is, then I'm going to pray about it. And if you have something else, then you change it. And I'll do whatever you want, but I'm going to honor you. I'm going to fast and I'm going to pray. Again, I'm going to fast and I'm going to pray. I'm going to get serious with you. Because we don't, you know, if we don't get serious with God, God can't get serious with us. And then nobody gets serious about God with us, you know. So, you know, make sure this is what your will is, Lord, and then go forward. But Paul had already determined in his mind, remember, he was bound in the spirit. He was broke free from his sin. He was forgiven of his sins through Jesus Christ. Now he is following his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he goes, I am bound for a mission. Each one of us is bound for a mission this week. I wish we knew. Sometimes we wish we knew, but I'm glad we don't. We make plans, but they change. Make sure our plans are always changeable with the Lord. So it says in verse 13, it says, and when answered, what mean ye weep and do break my heart? And I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the sake of the Lord Jesus. He was determined. He says, okay, if you really want to know, this is breaking my heart. You ever made up your mind you want to do something in life and people are telling you, no, don't do it, don't do it. And you're like, this is breaking my heart. How many, we've all been there, haven't we? Mom, Dad, don't do that. Gramps, Grandmom, G-Mom, G-Pa, don't do that. You're like, I've got to. The Lord has told me to do it. And it's breaking your heart. Emotionally, it breaks you up. And he says, and he goes, verse 14, when he would not be persuaded, we see saying, the Lord, the will of the Lord be done. So finally, they stopped. They were like, okay. And I'm like, I'm telling you, just believe me. We've had people we've cried out to, would you please believe me? Just believe me. Why do you think evil thoughts of me? Why do you go behind my back? Why are you looking for dirt? Just believe me. I've accepted Christ as my Savior. I love the Lord. Don't you see it in my life? Don't you know there's a change? Well, you know, it's either that or else God will have to deal with them. But our hearts go out to our families, our loved ones, our friends, our neighbors. And then verse 15, we see there's the what motivates others. Verse 15, and after those days, we took up our carriages, that means our preparations, and went up to Jerusalem. There we went with us also unto the disciples of Caesarea and brought with them Menasin of Cyprus, an old disciple whom we should lodge. It's interesting because this man was a Hellenistic Jew, and he was from Greek descent. Remember in the beginning of Acts, the biggest problem it was with the apostles. They were having problems with the Hellenistic Jews, the Greeks, the Jewish Greeks. Well, now they were having problems now with the Jews. And, you know, it's better to go with the Grecians because their problems, you don't want to stay over here, Paul. Sometimes God diverts us from problems, issues, warning signs. Sometimes we need to avoid those things. God says, stay away. And we need to stay away. And we could probably tell you untold stories about that, what happens. Sometimes we have to go and do exactly what the Lord tells us to do. So we know it has a purpose with courage and conviction. It has a purpose. It can't be diverted. If we really believe it and we know what God says it and that settles it. And we see also we have to pay any price. It will pay a price. And then we see that it motivates others. And we should be that witness that people see Jesus in us. Just this month, and I'm closing with this month, there's a battle called the Battle of Antietam. Apparently, Robert E. Lee was going to attack there in West Virginia to a fortress, and he sent out four messengers. And when you had a secret message, you should never write it down on a piece of paper because the enemy would get a hold of it. Well, one of the messengers was shot and captured, and they found this message on him. And they realized that Lee's forces were going to come down through Antietam into Harper's Ferry, where this fortress was, where the Union had this large stockpile of ammunition. Well, lo and behold, with Lee's army, they came right with, it wasn't Grant, it was another general, and they came to the Battle of Antietam. And actually, I've been there, and there are cornfields all around there, and there's a little bridge, and believe it or not, they fought over this little bridge. And my point is that in one day, 1862 in September this month, and actually it's 2002, so you could do the math, 6,000 Union and Confederate soldiers were killed. 17,000 in one day were wounded. Okay, putting that in perspective. There's a lot of people who died for what they believed for this country. That's why I'm so upset about this woke philosophy doing with the school kids and everything else. It's just disgusting. And so it was known as the cornfield, and I'll tell you in Gettysburg, been there too. Some of you probably been there too, where the soldiers would come across a cornfield, see another regiment or infantry unit there, and they'd take their guns and load and shoot, and they said literal cornfields. We've all been to cornfields. The literal cornfields would be flattened with musket balls, and people would just be shot all to pieces. You'd be alive 1 minute, and you're gone the next. My point is that Union soldiers were, you know, getting cut to pieces and seeing your best friend die next to you, just like, oh my goodness, I'm out of here. You know, this is crazy. I'm getting shot at. You know, some of us have been in real warfare. You don't have a choice because you're there because you love your country. You die for your country. You die for your wife, your children, your grandchildren, everybody else, because you lived your life. Maybe you've been in your early 20s, but hey, what about the little ones? Look so sweet. Well, they all took off. They ran toward this hill. And there was this lone private. He's up there. He goes, face the enemy. Face the enemy. He says, shouting, rally, boys, rally. Die like men. Don't run like dogs. He's up there, a lone private. Just his hat. Don't run like dogs. Die like men. You know, if you've ever been in combat before, you just forget about it. Everything becomes numb, and you don't even think about what's in the world. You don't even think about that, but you think about your friends, your loved ones. You know, the churches are like that today. We need to rally together, and we need to live in peace, like it says in Timothy, with all people. And we need to love one another, and we need to share the gospel. God, my point is, God's not calling us to get guns and you know, no. God has called us to pray. He has called us to rally together, become stronger than ever, because love overcomes everything else. So what happened to those soldiers? They turned around, they went right back. And they were like, you know what? This is my family. Your squad, which is five people, your infantry, whatever you want to call it, the unit you're working with, they become your family. You know, your other family, they're way overseas somewhere, and you become numb. And those men with you, those are your brothers. Those who you die for. You think differently when you're in real combat. And so Paul's saying, you know what, with the gospel, let me close with this. With the gospel, we continue on. We have the courage, amen? We have the courage and conviction today. I know we do in this church, every one of you that I've gotten to know over this past year, you do have that courage and conviction. So, just do it. Just do it. I need to do it. We all need to do it. That courage and conviction. Let's pray. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you give us the conviction, and then you give us the courage to follow on what so many people have done before us who died for the faith. Lord, it could be very well be if we have the evil that we're having in our country for the next 2 years, it may be very bad for all of us because they're coming after us, Lord, but bring it on. Lord, help us to go out and vote. Help us, Lord, to fight for our freedom, because if we don't fight for our freedom, we're laying down our arms, spiritually speaking, Lord, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Lord, we pray, God, that we'll continue to have the courage and conviction this week. We pray for our leaders. Lord, we want to live peacefully, like it says in Timothy, with all people. Lord, we just ask you, God, that people can see you in us, and Lord, you can do anything that's possible. You can do the impossible because you're possible. We thank you for your great love. Thank you for your holiness. And pray, dear God, we thank you that you would give us, like it says in Joshua, be of good courage. You know, stand like a man or woman. Take hold of the truth and live it. And Lord, with the time that we have left before you come back, and life is so precious, we need to pray for it, God, that we'll live as you want us to, in Jesus' name. And pray that if there's anybody that's watching online who doesn't know you, Lord, that they can experience the real courageousness and conviction, Lord, in your will. No one can understand a purpose in life, Lord. And pray that they will draw closer to you, and they will come to know you as their Savior, twice born again of the Spirit, once of the water, once of the Spirit. God, make it illuminate them, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.